Our scripture reading is 1 Peter 1:22-25. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. And now let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into our message for this morning. Heavenly Father, we now pray for the grace of your Holy Spirit to work upon our minds, upon our hearts, to grant us illumination, to understand your word, all of which is breathed out from you. Lord, we pray that you would work, Lord God, not only through the preaching of my lips, but also, Lord, the translation that is on the screen. We pray, Lord God, that you would work through both modes of communication, Lord, for the comfort and encouragement and sanctification of your people, for conviction of sin, for repentance unto salvation, and for your great glory and namesake. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we're continuing on with our series in 1 Peter. In the first chapter, picking up where we left off last Sunday as we move on to verse 22 to 25. So in the first verse of our text for this morning, we're told that one of the major reasons why God chooses to save his elect through his Son, Jesus Christ, is to unite them together in love as his children, brethren, in the one household of God. Verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Twice so far in 1 Peter 1, we were reminded that if we are in Christ, we are exiles in this world as citizens of another country, not of this earth. By the precious blood of Christ, we have been ransomed from the futile ways of spiritual darkness and reconciled to God as a people for his own possession who live for him. As citizens of God's country, we now live by his ways, his laws, written upon our hearts. As God's people, not only are we fellow citizens of his holy nation, but as verse 22 of our text asserts, we are also a loving family. All brethren, one to another. So in Christ, we are citizens of God's nation. We are also brethren of God's household. And echoing this truth, we read in Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Fellow citizens, members of the household of God. In verse 22 of our text informs us that Christ died for a great purpose, to bind all who trust in him together in brotherly love. So then, how does the saving grace of God in Christ empower us to love one another with this sincere brotherly love that is referred to in verse 22? Well, let's turn to our first point and begin to unpack the answer in today's text. So point number one, love the brethren because we have been purified for a sincere brotherly love. Verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So in verse 22 we read, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. What is this truth? What is this truth that is being referred to, which results in the purifying of our souls when it is obeyed? Well, it seems clear to me that the truth being referred to is pointing back to the previous verse, verse 21, the last week's text, or from last week's text. Verse 21, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. There's the truth that's being referred to in verse 22. God, who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory. When we are obedient to the gospel call to believe in God through Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus as our resurrected Savior and glorified Lord, whom God has sent in order to reconcile people to himself, well, what happens? We read in verse 22. We have been purified. We have been purified, first of all, of our guilt in sin. Through obedience to the gospel call to faith in Christ Jesus, our sins have been paid for by his blood, satisfying God's wrath against us for sin and attaining for us full forgiveness. And not only has our obedience to the truth of the gospel resulted in the cleansing of sin's guilt, but has also introduced into our lives God's power to purify us of sin's pollution. Sin's pollution. Its corrupting influence in our attitude, in our behavior. In Acts 2:38 we read, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's the power introduced into our lives through faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit, the power to purify us of sin's pollution. So through obedience to the gospel call to faith in Christ Jesus, we have been purified of sin's guilt, but we have also received power from on high, the Holy Spirit, to purify us of sin's pollution. Now, through faith in Christ Jesus, we receive forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies us throughout our lifetime, transforming us in conformity to Christ's image, as 2 Corinthians 3:18 puts it, from one degree of glory to another. This is referring to progressive sanctification. Through faith in Christ Jesus, we have received purification from sin's guilt by his blood. Through faith in Christ Jesus, we have received purifying power from sin's pollution by his Spirit who dwells in us. Now, according to verse 22, this purifying grace of salvation has a great purpose for all who receive it through faith in Christ. What is that purpose? Verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for, here's the purpose, a sincere brotherly love. The purifying grace of salvation is for a sincere brotherly love. It's for uniting the elect of God in brotherly love for each other. See, all who believe in God through Jesus Christ, both Gentile and Jew, both the young and the old, male and female, those perched on the pinnacle of the socioeconomic ladder and those who reside on its lowest rung, people of every type of cultural background and every kind of occupation are all one as children of the Heavenly Father. We are all a people whose souls are purified by obedience to the truth proclaimed by the gospel. Purified by obedience to the truth of salvation through faith in Jesus, our risen Savior and glorified Lord. All the myriad of worldly divisions that once polarized us and set one class of people against another are no more in Christ. Ephesians 4, 4 to 5. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. See, God divides the world into only two classes of people. Now the world divides all the people of the earth into thousands of classes of people. God divides the world into only two classes of people, only two. Those who obey the truth of His gospel and those who do not. That's it. And it's on the basis of this division that God judges the entire world. So if God judges the world on this criteria alone, then who are we to arrogate for ourselves a criteria of judgment other than God's? To do so, as the Apostle James puts it, is to become judges with evil thoughts. That's what we read in James 2, 1 to 4. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing come into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? And if we're children of God through our faith in Christ Jesus, do not become judges with evil thoughts. Judges making distinction among the assembly of the church based on the same earthly criteria of the world when it makes its distinctions. Do not become judges with evil thoughts. See, if we obey the truth of His gospel by believing in Jesus as He is, as He is revealed in the Word of God, risen Savior, glorified Lord, we are freed from the divisiveness of all worldly distinctions and united as brethren of one family, brought together by God to love one another as such. And this is one of the great reasons that God sent His Son into the world for our salvation. We have been saved for a sincere brotherly love. Which brings us to our second point. Love the brethren because we have been born again of imperishable seed through the Word of God. So let's read through our text. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Since we are purified through faith in Christ Jesus and united in Him as one household to love one another as fellow brethren, we read in verse 23, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. What does it mean to love one another earnestly? In the original language, the word translated as earnestly is ektenos, which means, according to one source, fully stretched. Fully stretched. That's what it means to love one another earnestly, is to love one another with a love that is fully stretched. To love one another earnestly means to love strenuously, fervently. An illustration of this earnest love between brethren in Christ is found in Ruth's love for her mother-in-law, Naomi, in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth. Now, if you recall, Naomi was a widow with two sons who had Moabite wives, Orpah and Ruth. And over the course of time, Naomi's two sons also passed away, leaving her destitute. And so Naomi, concerned for the well-being of her two daughter-in-laws, urges them to return home to their mothers and to remarry. So this is what we read in Ruth 1, 12 to 16. Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Well, it's obvious that both Orpah and Ruth loved Naomi. But Ruth's love for Naomi was a love fully stretched. It was an earnest love that prompted her to cling to Naomi. It was an earnest love shared between two members of the same household. Not only according to the bond of filial kinship, but also, more importantly, the bond of spiritual kinship as people of God. An earnest love is an enduring and faithful love, illustrated in Ruth's love for Naomi. Well, many in the household of God, wrongly so, are inclined to love one another only for a season or two. But when the bond of fellowship and familyhood is put into the furnace of trial, difficulty, disappointment, like Orpah, We go our separate ways, looking after our own personal interests. And God has united his elect into one brotherhood in Christ so that we may love one another earnestly. A faithful love which endures the tests of trouble, affliction, clinging to one another as true spiritual kin, as Ruth clung to Naomi as her own spiritual kin. In verse 23, we are taught to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. What does that mean? From a pure heart. Well, we need to have a pure heart in order to love one another earnestly in Christ. What does it mean? Well, the reason why love among brethren in Christ lacks this quality of earnestness is because our hearts are often tarnished. Tarnished by the various criteria with which those of the world judge one another. As mentioned earlier in James 2, like the world, we become judges with evil thoughts, which results in partiality, prejudice, divisiveness, pride, all of which disrupt and undermine our ability to love one another earnestly as brethren in Christ Jesus. When we become judges with evil thoughts and adulterate our hearts with worldly distinctions based on social status and affluence and earthly achievements and outward appearances and all the other criteria by which the people of the world judge each other, what happens? Brotherly love grows cold. And the body of believers is divided with jealousy and selfish ambition, which is why we read in verse 23, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. A heart that is pure of all the adulterating effects of worldly distinctions. Pure from judgment proceeding from evil thoughts towards one another. See, the heart that regards one's brethren in Christ solely in the light of the gospel of salvation is a pure heart. A heart that is purified of evil thoughts based on worldly judgments. And it's only that kind of heart that loves the brethren earnestly, holding fast to them as kin at the deepest level, as brethren of the household of our God through the purifying grace of Christ's blood. How is it possible for us to love the household of God like this? How is it possible for us to love the brethren in Christ earnestly and from a pure heart? Well, it is possible, according to verse 23, since, here's why it's possible for all who are in Christ, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. The reason this love is possible, and indeed, the only reason this love is possible is because we have been born again of imperishable seed. That's the ultimate foundation of this earnest love proceeding from a pure heart. We have been born again of imperishable seed. And until we are born again of imperishable seed, It's impossible. It's impossible to truly love the brethren of God's household. All people have been born of perishable seed. Everyone, of course. All people possess natural, perishable life. That's what it means to be born of perishable seed. It's natural life, perishable life. But unless they are born again of imperishable seed, while they are alive physically, they are dead spiritually. They are dead to the things of God. See, unless they are born again of imperishable seed, they are in an existence of living death. Alive physically, dead spiritually. Things of this temporary physical life in all of its glories attract their attention, their desire. Speak of the temporary glories of this earthly life, and what happens? Our eyes light up with zest, interest, excitement. But speak of the eternal glories in Christ Jesus revealed in the living and abiding Word of God, and that zest and interest, excitement just vanishes. They become inert, unresponsive. Their heart's cold, hard as stone. See, the people of the world cannot love the household of God because while they possess perishable natural life, they do not possess imperishable spiritual life. And verse 23 asserts, to be born again is to be born of imperishable seed through the living and abiding Word of God. The purpose of this new birth is to grant spiritually dead people who have no capacity, no ability to see and respond to the glory of Christ revealed in the Word of God, the capacity to see, the capacity to respond to Christ's glory revealed in Scripture with true faith. And this spiritual life, this capacity to know God through Christ Jesus and respond to Him in love and trust, is a life that will never perish. It endures unto all eternity. And people who have been born again of imperishable seed possess spiritual life that the people of the world know absolutely nothing about. To be born again of imperishable seed is to live in a realm of spiritual knowledge and experience in relationship to Christ, which is entirely foreign and alien to natural people. Those born only of perishable seed glory in the perishable. That is because the only glory they see, the only glory they know, is the glory of this temporary earthly life. The various pleasures and passions of this world, its various baubles and trinkets and thrills, allurements, the greatness which is attainable in this world, the transitory satisfaction offered by this world. Well, this is the only glory they see, the only glory they know. But speak of the eternal. Speak of that which is imperishable. Speak of the glories of God and of Christ and of His everlasting kingdom and of living with Him and for Him by means of His salvation. Speak of the glories of His revelation, His living and abiding Word. speak of a greatness that never fades, attainable through the precious blood of Christ. And for the person who has been born only of perishable seed, it all seems to them dry and undesirable as sawdust. But as we read in verse 24, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And those who are born again of imperishable seed glory in the imperishable. That's how we know we've been born again of imperishable seed. We know a glory that those who have been born of perishable seed only know nothing about. Those who are born again of imperishable seed glory in the imperishable. Those who are born again of imperishable seed glory in Christ Jesus revealed in the word of the Lord that remains forever. Those who are born again of imperishable seed, hope in a living, imperishable hope. Now those born of perishable seed only worship the perishable idols of this world in the form of various earthly passions. Those born again of imperishable seed worship their imperishable Lord and God, Jesus Christ. Because the life born of perishable seed only and the life born again of imperishable seed share nothing in common at the deepest, most fundamental level, they profoundly clash with each other. That's why they can't love. That's why those who are born of perishable seed cannot love those who have been born of imperishable seed. In other words, when it comes to understanding the meaning and purpose of life, they cannot see eye to eye with each other. And this is, of course, because one sees while the other is blind. One possesses spiritual life while the other knows nothing of spiritual life. But if we have been born again of imperishable seed, then suddenly, what happens? We can see eye to eye with the brethren of God's household. We now live in the realm of spiritual knowledge and experience which they live in. We now can see the same glories of God and of Christ and of His everlasting kingdom which they see. And we now desire the life which they live. The life of living with God and for God by means of His saving grace in Christ. We now enjoy Christ's glory revealed in His living and abiding Word, which they enjoy, which up until the moment we are born again, we were utterly blind and insensitive to. We now share the same fundamental meaning and purpose in life together with them. Their God has become our God. Their people has become our people. So we no longer think of them as strange, unusual. What's wrong with those people? We no longer think them strange and unusual. We no longer clash with them as far as life's meaning and purpose is concerned. We're brought into harmony with them. We see eye to eye with them. And so we can share in fellowship with them. And more than that, we can love them earnestly from a pure heart as our spiritual kin. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. In fact, Scripture teaches us that genuine love for the brethren of God is proof that we have been born again. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Who has been born of Him? 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. There's the brethren. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. These are the ones who have been born of God. Now what do we read in 1 John 5:1? And everyone who loves the Father, this is how we know we love the Father, this is how we know we've been born again, loves whoever has been born of Him. See, Scripture teaches that is in fact genuine love for the brethren of God, that is proof that we love the Father. It is proof that our eyes have been opened to God's glory in Christ. It's proof that we have been born again. Have we been born again? Do we see the imperishable glory of Christ revealed in the living and abiding Word of God? And consequently, do we find fellowship with the brethren of God? Because we can see in Christ Jesus what they can see. Do we share the same fundamental meaning and purpose in life together with them? Rather than finding them strange, unusual, offensive, enigmatic, do we share kinship with them as spiritual brethren? Because like them, we have been born again of imperishable seed. The proof that we have been born again is that we love the brethren. Do we love the brethren? If we do, then we know that we have passed out of death into life. If we do, then we know that we are born again. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers, the brethren, all who believe that Jesus is the Christ, risen Savior, glorified Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now insofar as what has been preached is in keeping with your word, is illuminated by your own Holy Spirit. Insofar as these things are true, we pray that what has been preached would take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you have purified our souls by our obedience to the truth of the gospel for a sincere brotherly love. And since this is one of the great reasons why you sent your Son Jesus into the world, to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification, we pray now that we would love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since we have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. We pray, Lord, that each and every person in this congregation may be born again. Everyone is born of perishable seed, but only your elect are born of imperishable seed, the spiritual life that endures forever. And we see that it is in your word. It's only then when we are born again of imperishable seed. It's only when the spiritual life is granted to us by which we can know and experience a relationship of faith and love towards Jesus Christ, that we are then able to love the brethren. Up until then, until that happens, the brethren in Christ will always seem odd, strange, unusual, offensive. You can't figure them out, indecipherable, enigmatic. And perhaps for some of us, that's the way the brethren in Christ have been up until this point. Strange, enigmatic, in many ways offensive. Lord, that's why those who are of the world cannot love the brethren. But as we learned in your word today, that if we love the brethren, we know that we have passed out of death into life. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers, the brethren, all who believe Jesus is the Christ. We pray that this will unify us in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.